the Minnesota Superior Sound Studios. It's Wisecrackin' with Winter.
Hey, this is Mike Winter, and welcome back to Wisecrackin' with Winter. And today is a special show. Today, we're going to bowl. Now, I am admittedly the worst league bowler in Minnesota State history, going on 4 years now. And today I have with me a bowler that's established, well-respected, and has a 200 average, and he's going to take apart my game, try to find the weak points, and decide if I should even bother continuing bowling. His name is Eric Nissler. How are you today, Eric?
Good. How are you?
So how many years have you been bowling?
I've been bowling league since I was 6 or 7 years old.
6 or 7 years old. That's awfully young age to start. So you didn't have any friends?
Very few.
Very few friends. Bowling's always been a great refuge for people that are socially awkward, choose to live at home into their 40s or even 50s, have their mothers make their meals for them, sew their names on their underwear, etc., etc. Do any of these things apply to you?
No.
So you have been able to move out of your parents' house and continue to bowl?
Yes.
That's good. Do you get laid on a regular basis? Because most guys that bowl a lot have a lot of problems in the ladies' department. How about you?
The department's just fine.
That's good. So you've seen me bowl the past few years now, and if you're going to assess where I'm at professionally, what would you say?
If there's an option below average, that's where you would be.
Is there any hope of me getting above average?
No.
Is there any hope of me getting to average?
No.
So what do you think what do you think is going to come up today? Do you think I'm going to improve dramatically or just show slight improvement and then revert back to being horrible with like a 75 handicap?
The latter.
Well, let's find out. What we're going to do is we're going to bowl a full game and we're going to take it frame by frame, and Eric's going to give his insight and instruction. And then we'll see if I can go ahead and carry those things out or just fail miserably like I have been. Like most bowlers do in the love department or being social or being able to carry on a conversation while maintaining eye contact or being able to go out and buy their own clothes without their mother's help. Well, let's get started, Eric. Are you excited?
Extreme.
Okay, let's get it going. So to get things started out here today, I bought Eric a Bloody Mary and myself one. Do you think it's better to start drinking heavily before you bowl, during the game, or after?
I would say I'd say all the above. Any excuse to drink is a good excuse.
So any excuse to drink and get intoxicated while you bowl so you don't have to think about your life after you leave the bowling alley, heading back to mom's house, is always a good idea.
Exactly.
So here we are at frame number one again. What do you think I do here?
I'll say probably a 6 or a 7.
6 or 7, let's see what happens. So I just rolled and I ended up with a 3. Got 7 pins to go. What do you think I do here?
I actually think you'll pick this up. I think you'll adjust over a couple boards and actually pick it up.
I kind of doubt it, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So I ended up with a total of 7. What were your thoughts?
I think your second ball looked better than your first. You adjusted over a couple of boards, but your bowling muscle memory is still not there.
You think I'm going to get there by the third frame?
No. Just filling my ass up there.
So Eric just bowled his first frame and was almost falling down into the lane and still got a strike. How'd you do that?
I'm not sure.
All right, frame 2. So far the score is 10-7. So I just bowled the second frame, ended up with a 6. That's it. Your opinions of that?
Well, there's many, but I'd say the biggest thing is that you're not keeping your shoulders straight, and your throwing arm is still, you're still going over your body where you want to keep it straight, and that's causing the ball to go over farther than what it should.
So this show is good because, you know, it kind of serves the audience on two fronts. First front is, it's funny because I'm really bad, and a lot can be learned from my game of what not to do. So just, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of bowlers out there that aren't any fucking good like me. So just listen along with us, and maybe you can glean a couple of pointers for yourself out of this. Would that be fair?
Sure.
So Eric just got done with his frame, and he bowled a 2-6 and left an open. Now, do you think having Packer fans in here in the bowling alley affected you in any way?
No, not knowing the lanes is what's affected me on that one.
So it's not the guys in the Packers shirts running about.
I care less about that.
So I just rolled on the third frame, ended up leaving a 4, a 7, and a 10. Is there any way, I mean, how do you pick this up if you're a decent bowler?
Well, you want to go to the left side of the 4 pin and hopefully knock it over to the 10 pin. That's a strategy, at least.
What are the odds of me doing that?
Half a percent.
Half a percent. Let's see what happens here. So I just got done, ended up throwing it right into the gutter. Is that pretty much what you thought was going to happen?
I thought you'd get one pin, not a gutter.
So, Eric, you're up. Third frame. So Eric just finished his third frame. He started off with an 8, and he left 2, and he picked them both up. I should explain the way I'm throwing the ball. I'm trying to throw a hook, and I'm trying to throw it the right way, so coming up and over. The way I was throwing it before, I was kind of holding it like a suitcase. Is there anything wrong with holding it like a suitcase,
yes,
as opposed to going under and over? Why is that?
Well, if you're trying to throw a consistent hook where the ball is actually rotating correctly, you want to palm the ball and then do a slight turn with your hand. Whereas before you were throwing it, it was kind of a topspin, so you're actually fighting the ball's natural tendency to hook correctly.
It's kind of like most bowlers that bowl a lot who fight the tendency to stay at home with their mothers until they're 60.
True.
Some of them overcome it and move out. Some of them don't. Well, here we are, starting the fourth frame. Score is 20-26. Eric, you're not really even having that good of a game.
No, I'm not.
So here in the fourth, ended up getting a 9 the first throw.
Leaving the 10 pin.
And then on my second throw, completely missing the 10 pin on the left side of the frame. What did I do wrong there?
Well, you were aimed at the right side of the lane, or you should have been the left side of the lane, and throwing the ball from left to right, where you actually threw the ball from right to left, completely missing the 10th pin.
Let's see what Eric does here in the fourth. So Eric just had another open. 8 on the first, picked up 1 pin on the second. Not typical for you, Eric.
No, not at all.
What are you blaming?
These lanes are a little dry. I'm not quite used to these lanes yet. Hopefully it gets better throughout the rest of the game. Probably not, though. I'm not expecting a high game here today.
So the lanes have a lot to do with scores.
Yes.
Maybe you should explain to the folks at home about lanes and lane conditions. What does that mean?
Every bowling alley has a different way of oiling their lanes. It could be a heavy oil, a medium oil, or a light oil. And it depends on where they applicate the oil at the lanes. And to adjust to that takes time.
I think that's a load of horse shit, personally. I think you're just having a bad game.
That could be it, too.
Is it easier just to blame the lanes?
No. I'm not expecting anything great today.
It's a lot like when regular bowlers blame the lack of a love life they have on girls being bitches, when in fact, it's just because they're stupid nerds. Would you agree, Eric?
For the most part.
Well, here we are, moving into the fifth. The score is 29-53. Let's see what I do here. So on the first frame here in the sixth, I threw a 5. The ball went completely to the right and then all the way over to the left. Why is that, Eric?
Well, you're shifting your throwing arm from your right to your left, and you should be keeping it straight.
All right, let's see what I do here. So, Eric, first strike of the, or second strike of the game here in the seventh or fifth, or these Bloody Marys are strong.
Yes.
Have you figured out that tricky oil pattern now, I guess?
No, I actually just threw a Brooklyn. I'm not too happy about it, but I'll have to adjust my throw again.
For people that don't bowl and have a normal social life, what is a Brooklyn?
A Brooklyn is the opposite side of the pocket where you usually will answer the ball through the pins. So if you're a right-handed bowler, the Brooklyn will be on the left side of the head pin. If you're a left-handed bowler, your Brooklyn will be on the right-handed side of the head pin.
Why call it a Brooklyn?
You know, I actually looked into that recently ago. It actually, there was two teams from the Brooklyn area, and I think it came about like the 1920s or 1930s that they just decided to call it a Brooklyn.
Did that, so that was back in the 30s?
20s or 30s, somewhere around there.
So that was long before members-only jackets.
I don't know, they might have had them back then. I guess there was a team that predominantly was a right-handed bowlers, and they bowled on the left side of the head pin, so they just started calling it Brooklyn.
Fascinating.
Very.
So after five frames, it's 38 to 53, Eric. Let's see what I do here. I'm going to stop saying let's see what I do here because I'm going to have to edit most of that out. So here in the sixth, I threw a nine. And which pin is left? I don't know.
Seven pin.
The seven pin. How would I pick up a seven pin?
Well, you're going to want to have your body at the right side of the lane. You're going to want to aim for the second and third arrow and slowly shift the ball over to the left with your hook on your ball.
The odds of me doing that?
I think you'll get it.
Okay. So I did manage to pick up that pin, and I'm feeling it pretty excited, exuberant, that like my game might be getting better. Much like if a regular league bowler picked up a phone number. I imagine that's how they would feel too. Eric's up here in the sixth.
All the time.
So Eric striked here in the sixth. Now you were complaining something about your release. Does your release have anything to do with the oil pattern on the floor?
I made a little bit of adjustment, throwing the ball a little bit harder because the lanes are a little bit drier. I stepped up a few inches just to help with that as well. My newer ball that I just got has a late hook reaction time, so I have to adjust for that for my old ball.
At the 13-minute mark of this podcast, do you think there's anybody still listening?
No.
All right. Moving on to the seventh. So my release is getting better here in the seventh, and I left four. I don't know the pin numbers. Eric, what are they?
Let's see here. 3, 6, 7, and the 10.
Now, how would you pick this up?
I would go for the right side of the 3, knock it over into 7, and the ball will take out the 6 and the 10.
Odds of me doing this?
You're not going to get it.
Let's see what happens. So I ended up missing it completely because I turned my arm.
Yep.
I'm now sitting on a 61 after 7 frames. Now, would you say most little kids bowl better than this?
I would say I probably bowled better when I was at 7 and 8 than you are right now.
So Eric ended up with another strike in the 7th. Have you figured out the oil patterns?
I'm slowly learning it.
So after 7, the score is 61 to 73. 83?
No, I have more than that. I'm on a turkey in the 5th frame right now. So it all depends on what I bowl from here.
So, aside from being a horrible bowler, I don't even understand how the scoring works. So if I went into a bowling alley and there was no automatic score, I'd have no idea on how to keep score.
Okay.
While I bowl here in the 8th, why don't you explain to the kids at home how bowling is scored?
Okay. All right, kiddos. So you have an open, a spare, and a strike. An open consists of the second ball after the first open throw. Now, if you you spare, the next frame, first ball, counts towards the two previous. Now, Mike just pulled a gutter.
Yeah, just go ahead and keep it going.
Okay. Now, if you were to bowl a strike, that counts as 10 plus your next two throws. And Mike picks up a 6 for his first spare opportunity.
Well, that was disappointing. 6 pins, a gutter, and then a 6. Leave me with a 67. What are the odds that I break 100 this game?
I think you'll do it.
Here's
Eric. You've got 4 more scoring opportunities. So.
There's also 4 more opportunities to gutter.
That, agreed.
So Eric picks up the spare. He now has 130 after 8. I'm at 67. What am I doing wrong? Am I standing in the wrong place when I let my ball go?
I would actually move you over a couple boards and really have you concentrate, keeping your shoulders square and your arms straight when you release.
Important for all of you at home looking to get into league bowling and giving up on having a wife or a family. These are all important notes.
Very important notes.
9th frame, first strike of the game. Am I showing a big improvement?
Your release was good. Your arm was straight. You did throw a Brooklyn, but it is a strike, so I will give you that.
So Eric ended up with a 9, and then he spared out. He's sitting on, what's your score now?
149 in the 8th. So right now I'm sitting at a 159.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the more cats you finger at home, the better your bowling game gets?
I'm not aware of that.
Well, here we are in the 10th, the final frame, and if you're still listening, God bless you. I don't know how you've hung in this long. So I finished up with the 10th, and I ended up with a 95. Now, is that normal for a guy that's bowled league 3 years?
No, not at all.
Any guesses on what I'm going to throw the next game? Maybe a 190?
No, I'll say you bowl a 120 next year.
All right. Goes Eric into the 10th. He's sitting on a 159. Let's see what he does. He ended up with an 8.
Yeah.
So Eric spared and then got a strike in the 10th. So he finishes with a lofty 187, still 13 under his average. And I had a 95.
16 under my average.
16, oh, he's that good. So that's it. I just wanted to share with you a shared experience of how bad of a bowler I really am, to highlight what a good bowler Eric is.
Average.
Average. I guess you're an average bowler if you roll a 187 in a bowling alley you don't normally bowl. So any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I'm going to destroy you next game.
More than likely. And to do my fans a favor, I'm not going to record that game because you already sat through 19 minutes of this, and I think that's enough.
I agree.
Yeah. So for Wisecracking with Winter, I'm Winter. Thanks for listening.